Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
Hey, thank you, Dan Hirsch. Nobody introduces better than Dan Hirsch.
Nobody.
But he's not here today because he goes out and makes a truckload of money doing movie trailers.
Yeah.
My grandson was watching something on Netflix the other day, and there was a movie trailer. He goes, "That's Dan."
That's Dan.
I go, "It is Dan," and he's on our podcast.
I heard him on a McDonald's commercial.
Yeah, but he's not on today.
Not today.
Today
we've got somebody really special.
We've got somebody really special, Jimbo Stewart.
Yes, Jimbo Stewart.
All right,
Jimbo
glad
Stewart.
To be here. Glad to be
Jimbo
here.
We love Jimbo.
He's like the man for the Replant and Revitalization and Rural Ministry team.
Yep.
He holds the whole thing together.
The whole thing.
He does. Without him, I would be lost.
That's an understatement.
Without him,
that's
I could do nothing.
Yeah.
That's the wrong story. I could sing that without
Now,
him.
We love, we'll tell you what, though, man. Jimbo's the real deal. Right. Great leader. Loves the Lord. Loves
so
his family.
We just invited Jimbo to join us here at the table. We're at this little tiny round table.
Yep.
And I'm on the left, and Jimbo's in the middle.
And where are we?
And you're on the right. We're doing these live and in person from the Southern Baptist Convention.
That's right.
In Indianapolis, Indiana.
That's right.
That's right.
And Jimbo's going to be with us for several episodes, and then
yes,
Dan will
and
be back.
Yes, Dan will be back. So
we're blessed to have
works.
You, bud.
Man, I'm super excited to be here with my two favorite Marks. Mark on the left, Mark on the right.
Right.
I've got two Marks.
Not nine Marks.
Two Marks.
Two Marks.
Two Marks.
Super glad to be here.
Two Marks.
Two Marks. All right. All right, Jimbo, help us. Tell us what we're going to talk about today on this wonderful episode of Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, Mark Halleck, and Jimbo Stewart, and whoever else might want to set up at the table. Who we got?
Okay.
I have no idea.
You have no idea? You really don't? I'll tell you what. Here's what we're doing.
Yeah.
So these are some things pastors need to do in their prayer life. All right. This is how a pastor can have a really rich prayer life.
Okay.
Something I have to work on, something I have to discipline myself for, something that's just not natural for me. Mm. But then again, hey, Don Whitney says there's nothing about prayer that appeals to our flesh.
Man, yeah,
he's
true.
Absolutely right. And so we battle it all the time. So this came from my good friend, Jim Eliff, and he's given us, I think, 10. That's great that it rounds out to 10. 10 ways you as a pastor can really strengthen your prayer life, and these are really important. Mark, what's the first one?
Yeah, the first one is this. Remember to come to the Lord in Christ's name. And he talks about Ephesians 2, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father.
Now, do you struggle with prayer life as a pastor? I mean, how do you struggle, I should say?
Man, I think for sure. I mean, that Whitney quote's powerful. I think if you're wired in such a way that you're thinking through, man, I got another sermon to preach, I got people to visit, I want to think through leadership strategies. So often we can give lip service to prayer without seeing that as, you know, as the actual work that we're called to.
Right.
If there's two things we're called to, it's to preach the word and to pray.
Right.
Mm. And oftentimes we put prayer at the bottom of our priority list.
And it's often been said that we think we need to pray before we do the work, but prayer is the work.
It is the work.
And so how do we pray as pastors? I mean,
that's right.
I think there needs to be, I think this is great. We're going to put this in the show notes.
Yeah.
But guys, you need to really, and you can share this with your membership, with your leadership, with your wife, with your kids. Great insight on how to spend some significant time in prayer. And the first one is you come in Christ's name, delight in him, right? That's what he says. It's all based on the merits of Christ when we come before the Lord, not our own merits. And we do that totally. Number two. Go ahead, Jimbo.
Delight in him.
What does that mean?
He says, express your wonder and delight in God. Praise him for his character and his power. Do not thank him at this time for his activity in your life, but focus on the person of God and his attributes.
Mm.
And Psalm 37:4, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart.
This is a really great template. You say, I'm coming in Christ's name, not on my merit, but what Christ has done for me.
Yeah.
And I'm accepted because of Christ. And then I'm just going to delight in the glory and the wonder and the majesty and the beauty and the depth of God's love. I'm just going to delight in that. And I'm just going to enjoy that and marinate in that and think on that. And then number three, express your longings to him. Tell him what you desire above all things.
Mm-hmm.
Express your deepest longing for fellowship with him and for holiness and whatever else is in your heart. Eliff reminds us, this is not a time to pray about everything you need, but it is a time to make known your deepest longings and deepest desires.
Yeah.
Hey, let me ask you guys this. I love this language, delighting in God, longing for Him, expressing that. It reminds me a lot of how John Piper would talk about. I meet guys, though, who don't resonate with this kind of language, delighting in God.
Right.
What would prevent someone from delighting? I mean, that, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, delighting in God? Like, I understand obeying God.
Can I just tell you, I meet a lot of pastors who don't look like the delight in anything.
No, that's what I mean. There's no joy. There's like, there's no joy in the Lord.
No.
But doggone, I'm going to obey Him.
I'm going to obey Him, and you better obey
Him,
too.
You better obey Him, too.
Right, and we're all going to obey Him.
That's right.
And this world is a terrible place.
Yeah.
And we hate this world. We hate all the sin that's in it. We wish it. We're a little bit like John and James, who wanted to call down fire from heaven and destroy God's enemies. I mean, whenever we say, man, I just wish God would just come again and destroy this world and take us home. You're saying the same thing. Yeah. You're basically saying
the same thing. How do I grow? Tell me, guys, help me. So how do I grow my delight?
I think part of that is understanding that our relationship with God is not that He's the boss, we are the employee, but that is not even our primary relationship. Yes, we are His servants, but primarily our relationship with Him is adopted, redeemed, loved children
That's
of God.
Right.
And when we don't understand that identity, we build this relationship with God as if this is the guy I have to report to. Mm. And if I don't have all my stuff right, then He's not going to love me. Yeah. And we forget what it is this relationship is really about.
Mm. Amen. That's good, man.
So number one, you come in Christ's name. Number two, you delight in Him. Number three, you express your deepest longings in Him. And one way you can do that, Mark, is what? Number four?
It's to read a psalm.
Yeah.
Read a psalm. Praying the psalms. By the way, Donald Whitney wrote a great book called Praying the Bible.
Uh-huh.
If you've never, I think that's what it's called.
Yes. It's Praying the Bible.
Praying the Bible. It's a great little book. But this is one of the things he talks about is, why are the psalms, you guys, so powerful? And why are the psalms, how can the psalms be helpful for us in prayer? How would you say?
Well, it's things written by God, inspired by God, to be spoken to God.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think this one helps you on the previous one of delighting in God because it changes your prayer focus from just, here are the things that I need, God, here's the shopping list of requests I have for you. But when I pray the Psalms, I find I am more praying about the goodness of God.
Yeah.
And it makes me God-focused in my prayer, which makes my heart delight in Him.
Yeah, and it also, I think, too, it gives you language. Sometimes I think with prayer, if we're just being honest, it can feel like, man, I'm just praying the same things all the time.
Yeah.
The beauty about praying the Bible, and I would say the Psalms, is it gives you God-inspired language, as Jimbo said, to pray back to the Lord.
Yeah, absolutely. And also the next one, which is you sing a hymn.
Oh, come
on. Now, maybe you don't sing, but here's what you should do. And I've said this for decades. Get a hymnal. You should always have a hymnal with your Bible during your time alone with the Lord. Mm. And open up that hymnal and find some of those great, rich hymns of faith, of the doctrine. And then read a line. And if that line, just think, you know, pray after you read that line. And just say, Lord, thank you that this applies to my life.
Amen.
Okay?
That's good.
And if it doesn't apply to your life, but it should, then that's the time to say, Lord, make this apply to my life.
Yeah.
And so you can read through a hymn, and as you read through each and every line of that hymn, you can either thank the Lord for the truth that applies or ask Him to make that truth apply to your life. I mean, just something as amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And just stop. Yeah. Lord, thank you for saving me.
That's
you
awesome.
Know, I once was blind, but now I see. Lord, thank you that I... And just pray through those hymns. Look, if you spend some time coming in Christ's name, delighting in Him, in who God is, and expressing your deepest longings, and then you read a psalm, and now you're going through a hymn, you've already spent probably 15 minutes or more, right? And you're not redundantly going over the same words and saying the same things over and over and over. And then he says, number six, you get to the next part, which is really important for a pastor, which is Mr. Halleck.
To intercede for others. So interceding for others. And he says this. He says, remember those who have asked you to pray for them.
I know. You should write those down. I do not do that, and you probably don't do
that. Well, no, you need to be intentional with that.
I know.
Don't want to be the kinds of pastors that tell people we'll pray for them
and then we
don't.
I know.
And sometimes that's just being intentional. Or it's just, man, let me pray right now.
Even if you're not going to write it down, then
just pray right
then. Just do it then. That way you know you won't forget.
Other things in terms of intercession, praying for the leaders of your church, praying for the missionaries that you know, praying for the leaders of our country, those who are unsaved, your family members, your friends, those in trouble or grieving. So intercession is an important part of our
And
prayer.
As a pastor, you should take your church directory or your church membership role. You've got a pictorial directory. Do that. And depending on how large or small your church is, figure out some way that you can pray through that directory every month.
That's good.
So you're looking at those people's pictures or you're seeing their names in your directory, and just you're going to pray for every family member
I
in your
that.
Church every month. Do that every single month. I mean, if you've got a small church, do it every week, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And make sure you're praying. So interceding for others is critically important as part of your prayer life. And then number seven, place your day before Him.
Mm.
Let's assume you're doing this in the morning. You've already come to Christ in come in Christ's name, and you've delighted in Him, and you're expressing your longings. You've read a psalm. You've read through a hymn and prayed through a hymn, and you've interceded for others. Maybe you've prayed for a certain number of members that you have. Now you're ready to lay your day before Him.
Yeah.
And if you're praying in the morning, place every aspect of the Lord before that day. Lord, please give me patience with my family. Give me when my daughter comes to breakfast, Lord, give me patience with her. Help me get the kids ready for school. Let me be kind and compassionate to my wife today. You know, help me deal with the things I need. Be specific about that. And then going through the day chronologically as you think you know it. Lord, as I go to my lunch meeting with so-and-so, help me with that. And then I know I have this committee meeting later tonight, and I'm going to counsel with this couple. Pray through your day that morning. It'll really help you get your mind fixed. It'll help you understand you're relying on the Lord. It's an important thing just to get you ready, and prayer is so important. So after you intercede for others, then you pray through your day.
Yeah, that's really
and then
good.
Number eight, Jimbo?
Petition Him for other special needs. There are other matters in your life that you've got to be thinking about, other arenas that you're thinking through. And so you go before the Lord and you take other aspects of what's going on and you bring those and lay those down. And you take those things that are bringing anxiety in your life and you lay them down at His feet.
Right. Amen.
But you're not doing that at the very beginning of your prayer.
No.
Because you're really more at a place to do that as you go through these other things.
That's right.
Your heart and your mind is really more on that. If that's where you begin, it's hard to move beyond that in many ways.
That's really true.
But if you begin with these other things, and you're coming to that, your heart's in the right place.
Yes.
And now you're saying, Lord, you know I'm dealing with anxiety in my life, or I'm really dealing with some fear of debt that's coming that we have, some heavy burdens financially. Or, you know, my mother is taking care of my dad who has dementia. Lord, I really am concerned about their future. Bring those deep longing things to Him really at that point in your prayer. And then he says, number nine, you meditate on His word. After you do all of those things, right? Then just take a scripture and just meditate on His word and think about His word and let that just kind of seep into your heart and into your soul. So now you're really ready to meditate on His word. And then finally, Mark, how do we end number 10?
Offer thanks to the Lord.
Which
Offer
is
thanks.
Very biblical.
That's right.
Guys, there are many ways to do it, but I think if you'll take a look at this list that Jim Elliff has put up for us as a pastor, this would be a great template for you every single day to help guide your prayer life. And the wonderful thing is, as this becomes the norm for you and you do this on a regular basis, you will see your prayer life grow. Here's the reality. All the great men, we know this, all the great men of God that God has used throughout generations have been men of
prayer.
Prayer.
That's just the
Absolutely.
Truth.
Yep. None of them have done it without prayer. And you're not going to be able to do without prayer either.
Yep.
And even in the New Testament, it was the ninth hour, and Peter and John went to the temple to pray. And they'd seen Jesus do miracles. They'd talked to Jesus. They'd been personally called out by Jesus. Yet they felt the need to go pray.
Yeah.
And, man, if they needed to, we need to.
Amen.
So, guys, I got nothing else but that.
Good word.
Just say that. Just
Good
do
word.
That. Check this out. Look it up. And hope it'll help you. Got it? Anything else, Mr. Halleck?
Amen. I love it.
Anything else, Mr. Jimbo? I'm
glad to be here.
We're all glad to be here. Hey, tune in to us next episode. We'll be glad to share with you more great insights.
And follow us.
And follow us.
Follow us.
Where are we going? We going somewhere?
I don't know. There's got to be some button or something, man. Follow us somewhere.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.